Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Years ago, there was a young boy called Josh. No relation to any Josh that you might know. Josh was helping his dad paint a fence at home. They were painting the fence red. And as Josh was carrying the tin of red paint across the driveway, he stumbled and he fell, because Josh was a very clumsy boy. And he stumbled, he fell, and the tin of red paint splashed all over the white concrete driveway. Josh was devastated. Josh was so ashamed of himself. And for months, him and his dad tried to get the red stain out of the white driveway. They tried every chemical known to mankind. They tried every method they knew how. Nothing they had could work. One day, a family friend who's in the home restoration and construction business arrives to visit them, sees the stain that, although it had been somewhat dulled, it was still very much there. This guy sees the stain, asks what happened. They tell him the story, and he says to him, "Hey, no worries at all. Let me get home and I'm going to bring you something." And he comes back to the house and he brings a stain removal agent that with one application and just a bit of scrubbing, miraculously this stain disappears in front of their eyes. And they're like, "This is unbelievable. We've been trying for months to get rid of the stain. What did you do?" He said, "It's not what I did, it's what I applied. You've got to have the right thing to break through the stain. Christ's blood is the right stuff, the only stuff that breaks through the stain of our sin. It's not what you know, it's not what you do, it's what you apply that makes all the difference. The only solution to the stain of our sin was his blood." Here's the thing. This is the title of the message for Resurrection Sunday. The blood worked, everybody. It worked. How do we know? Because of one word and one word only. The word is resurrection. Check it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. But Christ was raised. Christ is alive. And so Christ's blood did pay for our sins." And we could say it this way: Christ's blood paid, but the resurrection was the receipt. It was God's confirmation that the payment was received. It was received in good order. It was the necessary payment. It was the payment that was needed for that particular price. So are you with me? The resurrection, everybody, it's God's divine yes to the blood that was poured out. It's God's validation. The resurrection is God's validation. It's God's receipt. It's God's stamp of approval. It's God's confirmation that the blood worked. The resurrection tells us the story. It announces to you and to me, the blood worked. The fact that Christ was raised from the dead means that the blood worked. If there was no resurrection, the blood would not have worked. If there was no resurrection, Christ would have merely been another atoning sacrifice. He would have merely been another spotless lamb. But instead, because he was resurrected, he was the spotless lamb, the one, the only spotless lamb. The blood worked, everybody. As dodgy as you are, as you sit here today, Christ's blood covered it for you. Good morning, Brackpan, speaking about dodgy. Good morning. Good morning. You thought I'd forgotten you? Brackpan, I will never forget you. Watchman Nee, he said this, I love it. "Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection." The blood of Christ secures our victory, not by our striving, but by his finished work. I just hope you've got some words in your heart and in your mind as you go today. The blood worked. How do we know? Because Christ was resurrected. The resurrection, actually, maybe you could think of it this way. This helped me. The resurrection activated Christ's blood. Christ's blood was just blood until the moment of resurrection. And when the resurrection happened, it activated. Everybody knows incense. Anybody like incense? Anybody want to burn incense sticks in their houses? Anybody do that stuff? You're going, no, I prefer a Yankee candle. Yankee candles are much nicer. Incense is much more biblical. So how many of you know that incense is just a stick? It's just a stick. It's got no smell, no fragrance, and it doesn't rise at all until it's been activated by a flame. The moment, however, that it's activated, thanks, Jules, activated by a flame, you can see the incense starts to burn. Now, this is, what flavor is it? Lavender. Lavender. This incense comes alive. This incense fulfills its purpose. This incense becomes what it was made to be. This incense begins to rise and this incense begins to smell simply because it got activated by a flame. Are you with me? Christ's blood gets activated by the resurrection. The resurrection is the activating flame that activates Christ's blood and makes it what it is to us. Simply put, if there's no resurrection, Christ's blood meant nothing. Are you with me? And we're going to leave this here and see what it does. And if you're in the front row, you've just hit the jackpot today. The resurrection made three things possible as it activated Christ's blood. The first thing it made possible is reconciliation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. These are exceedingly important texts. If you want to take a screenshot, it may help you. Colossians 1, 19 to 20. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. Isn't it incredible that the fullness of God was wrapped up in one human being? And through him, watch this, through Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Just a quick side note, if you're sitting in Easter and you're not at peace with somebody, make a phone call today. Make some peace with somebody. I was hoping for four amens. You bunch of skabangas. Make peace, because Christ made peace for us. God made peace through Christ. Are you with me today? The reconciliation of us as human beings with the God who loved us before we were born. This God who designed you in his mind long before you could have even thought of anything. The God who designed you in his mind and then formed you and formed me with his hands. He had you in mind long before your mom and dad even got together. That's how far ahead you were planned. The God who loved us in the Garden of Eden. The God who formed us, made us, breathed life into us, pursued us, designed us for his friendship, for his pleasure, for his purpose. That God, the God from whom we separated as mankind in the Garden of Eden, he designed a reconciliation plan. It was Christ's blood activated by the resurrection that reconciles us now. And your life and my life is covered by this reconciling blood of Jesus. I read this beautiful story the other day of this lady, a tiny little lady, a lady who minded her own business. She lived in a tiny cottage on the outskirts of a little village situated between two misty mountains. One day a fog rolls in, a mist rolls in, like what you might have seen this morning if any of you were up early this morning. That was the thickest mist I've ever been in my life. Anybody else trying to drive through that mist? Holy smoke. put hazard lights on, put bright lights on. I was driving at 3 km/h going through Atlas Road there. It was so thick. It was that kind of mist. How many of you, it was actually quite scary. And I thought to myself, maybe God knew that I was telling a story about mist today, and that's why he wanted to just give me a first-hand experience. Driving through this mist. Anyway, this mist descends on this village, and nobody can see a thing. You can't see a hand in front of you. And this little old lady, she wasn't important, but yet somehow people in the town, whenever they needed help, they would find their way to her front door. She was just that kind of presence, you know? And this mist rolls in. And what she decides to do is she decides to go and stand at the edge of the town with her lantern in her hand, figuring that if this light could be visible, somebody must need to see this light. People in the town were getting lost left, right, and center. It was a scary time. One boy was separated from his parents, but he followed the glow of her lantern, and he was gently led home. He followed the glow of the lantern, and all of a sudden, he reached out towards the lantern and found her hand, and her hand gripped his hand, and she led him home. An old man stumbling badly felt her hand grasp his hand. Again and again, she returned into the fog with her lantern, offering her light without fear or hesitation to lead people home. Jesus stands in the fog of our sin with us, and yet he is not us, because he has a light. And he can lead us home. The blood worked, everybody. The blood activated by the resurrection was the light that leads you home. How about you? Where do you find yourself today? Are you standing in some fog today? Might be a fog of a besetting sin. Might be the fog of a separation of relationship. It might be the fog of grief. Might be the fog of exceedingly difficult circumstances. Might be the fog of a health challenge. It might be the fog of a family challenge. I'm just asking today, how about you? Do you need leading home in any way today? If you do, resurrection power is available. Every man and every woman who gives up their own ability and reaches their hand out for his will find that he'll grab a hold. Maybe today that's you. Second thing that the resurrection made possible was release. Romans 3, 24 to 25, yet God in his grace, watch the text. He freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus when he freed us. Can you see the release? When he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. And people are made right with God when they believe. Notice, not when you do something, but when you believe that Christ sacrificed his life shedding his blood. We've got an innocent chair and a guilty chair. I'm going to ask our guilty Shakes to come on up. Give Shakes a round of applause. So I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Thanks, Shakes, for being the guilty guy. Imagine for a moment you are Shakes. You're sitting in court. You're the accused. The verdict has just been passed down, and the verdict is guilty. But it's not just guilty. The verdict and the punishment is death, execution. And so here you are in the guilty seat, and your next move from the guilty seat is to death row, and from the guilty chair to the execution chair, to the electric chair. That's your part. Can you imagine being in Shake's shoes right now? That's why I chose him, because I wanted to say Shake's shoes. But just as the police move closer to escort you to death row and then to the execution chamber, The judge gets out of his chair and he walks across the courtroom and he announces to everybody, including you, that there is a way to pardon the convicted and condemned man. There's only one way though, and it's never happened before because it's so radical. The way it works is the judge himself has to get up from his chair behind his judgment area, and he has to get up and walk across the room. And only if the judge is gracious enough and kind enough to do this for a good, and who, I mean, what judge is going to give up their position of power and come? And the way it works is if the judge walks from his chair and comes to this chair and decides in the out of the goodness of his heart to ask Shakes to stand up and to move to the innocent chair. And if the judge does that, and only if the judge decides he will sit in the guilty chair, then the previously guilty man is pardoned and the innocent man is guilty. And that's what Christ did for us as he purchased our release. But remember, if it stayed Good Friday, if it stayed just blood shed on a cross, Jesus would have just been another death. But because of the resurrection, it activates the power of Christ's blood. Christ's blood becomes alive. It becomes atoning. It becomes covering. And it becomes releasing. We had a judge who walked from his judgment bench in the courtroom and came to where I was seated in the guilty chair. And he told me to get up and go and sit in the innocent chair because out of the grace and the goodness of his own heart, he decided to take my place in the guilty chair. And so I have had my place traded. Shakes is now innocent and Jesus is guilty. I don't know any judge that would have ever done that. And yet he did. And in so doing, he mended heaven and earth. The great divide was crossed. The resurrection is the stitch. It's the needle and the thread that stitches together the fabric of God and man. It's the mending, the cosmic mending of heaven and earth. Because we had a judge good enough to do that for us. So he purchased my release and your release. And Shakes gets to go free. You see, from the innocent chair, you go back to your chair. Thanks, Shakes. Give him a hand. We receive a verdict, except the verdict is now grace, not guilt. There's this divine declaration, you're innocent. It's just as if I never sinned. That theological term is called justification. It's just as if you never sinned, just as if I never sinned. Is anybody grateful for Christ's work? But more than his work on Friday, his resurrection power on Sunday activated the power of his blood. The blood worked. It brought us release. As you sit here in your chair today, you're released from that chair. You're released from your sin. You're released from the consequence of your sin. Your chains of captivity are broken by his love, and we're released. Once we were captives, now we've walked free. Released. We're not only released from our sin, we're released from our guilt. We're released from our shame. Everybody, the blood worked. Aren't you glad the blood worked? How about you? Can your mind fathom today that you're released from the guilty chair? That he took your place. Honestly, I've replayed this object lesson time and again in my mind, and I'm going, what judge in their right mind does that? Yeah. Only the God who loved us and who formed us and who pursued us and who desires us and who wanted to spend eternity with us. There's really only one judge in all of history who's ever taken the place of the guilty one. Can somebody say thank you, Jesus? Okay. Amen. The third thing that the resurrection purchased for us is reformation. Reformation. It's reconciliation, it's release, and it's reformation. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Maybe take a screenshot. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates. Watch this. Here's the reformation. To make his people holy by means of his own blood. To make his people holy. To reform us. To make us like him. The blood of Jesus, everybody, it's what makes the reformation of your life and my life. It's what makes the reformation of what happens inside you and inside me. You know, every dodgy thought you've had, every critical thought you've had, every lustful thought you've ever had, everything your eye has laid upon, every action of your hand, every moment of guilt, every single thing that wells up within us because sin has a pattern inside of our lives, every single thing that can be and is reformed into the likeness of Christ. Simply put, we can become more like Jesus every single day. That's the miracle of what the blood did for us, of how the resurrection activated that. This is an enormous thing. Human beings, as we are, when we give our lives to Christ, slowly but surely, somebody gave me this phrase, the slow shaping of the human soul takes place. Your soul and my soul gets shaped like a potter with clay. Anybody ever watched a potter forming clay? As we come to Christ, we put ourselves on the potting wheel, just a lump of clay. And the wheel begins to spin and his hands begin to form and mold and shape us. You might wonder to yourself, jeepers, am I ever going to become more like Jesus? There's some days when I think to myself, I think I'm a lost cause. I feel like Jesus should give up on me. I thought like that again. I spoke like that again. I acted, you know. But if I look back over the last, say, 5 years or 10 years, thankfully I can see some progress. And I'm sure you can too. It's the slow shaping. You see, Shakes was a murderer. And, sorry, Shakes. And he was guilty. Now, in a moment, he moved from this chair to this chair. That's called justification. In a moment, he was set free legally. But how many of you know it takes a lifetime for him to not become a murderer? Are you with me? He might have been released from death row, but he's got to be released inside. He's released from the prison of the walls around him, but he's got to be released from the walls within him. And so too with us. The blood worked. It's what put us into the potter's hands. How about you? Are you letting him reform you? Which areas of your life do you need to let him shape and form into Jesus' image? Will you let him do it? Maybe it's a pattern that you've been stuck in. Maybe it's a way of thinking that you just can't seem to shake. Maybe it's a way of interacting with people. Maybe it's a deep anger that just finds its way to the surface. Maybe it's the legacy of things in your upbringing and they just, you know, they shaped you. Here's the thing. Here's the good news. Here's the gospel good news in one line. everybody is within reach of Christ's reach. Everybody can be shaped by the potter's hands. There's nothing so wonky in your life and my life that it can't be reshaped. This potter doesn't have like a shape that he can't make. There's no clay too hard, too set in its ways, too stubborn for him to shape. The only thing for us as human beings is to say, Jesus, I'll get on your potting wheel. And the way we do that is a decision to surrender, a decision to give our lives to him, a decision to say, I'm a lump of clay. Make me, mold me, shape me. Like that song goes, make me, I pray. How about you? What's lumpy in your life at the moment? What's a little bit bent out of shape in your life at the moment? What's not symmetrical?